random topics loosely followed. Welcome to the Perpetually Untitled Podcast.
Hello, Carla.
Hi, Matt. So I'm going to multitask again while we record.
What are you doing? But
hopefully it's less. I'm painting my nails.
Oh, okay. I guess that's better than knitting.
I don't see
your
difference.
Your nails look like they're already painted.
I have some coats, but I need to do one more coat of the color, and then I need to do a clear top coat.
It sounds like quite a process.
It is. It is. Because the more coats you have, the longer each coat needs to dry. So I could probably get away without this one. But since we're going to be recording for the next hour and change, realistically, I figured why not? So how's Florida treating you?
It's good. It's actually kind of warm this week. It was in the 80s today. I went for a little
place.
A little dunk in the pool after work. The person next to me was like at a table nearby, was flipping through Facebook and random bursts of hilarity. And then she would read
distracting.
And then she would immediately read her, I assume, husband, like whatever the thing she was laughing at was. And it was not at all funny.
Well, okay. So that's kind of a thing that I've observed. So I've mentioned before, my mother-in-law has a condo in a different part of Florida. And whenever we would visit her, we would go swimming and we would be in the pool swimming. And there's a non-trivial number of people who seem to just kind of like hang out on the patio area around the pool, which I kind of just don't get. Like, the chairs are not comfortable, right? They're patio chairs and they're under an awning. They're not working on their tan or anything like that. And let's face it, nobody in Florida needs to work on their tan. So why not just be in the comfort of your own living room? I don't know.
First of all, okay. Behold my complete lack of tan.
Nobody year round needs to work on their tan.
I'm actually kind of surprised that I have like essentially, I think I'm just as pale as I would be if I was like back home.
I would be interested the next time you go to the doctor and like have your standard middle-aged person blood work panel done, if they notice a difference in your vitamin D levels.
I actually need to get in
more sunshine.
I do need to get in it. I do need to get in and like do the whole like checkup kind of thing, like be an adult and all of that. I'm averaging like every 2 years. I think you're supposed to really do it every year, but
yeah, that's what they call it, an annual physical, Matthew.
last time I was in, the PA who does 95% of the work was like, I'm giving you the, what did she call it? The 2 year warning.
What is the 2 year warning? This year is the year that you get to do the special preventive care test.
Well, it's probably been about 2 years since she gave me the warning. So this is probably the year that she said, I like to give people plenty of notice so they know that it's coming.
I will be totally honest. So possibly because of my own personal medical history, but like medical tests just aren't that big of a deal to me. I mean, I'm not squeamish about blood the way that you are, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, do whatever.
I don't want things in uncomfortable places, Carla.
You won't remember it. There is twilight anesthesia. It's fine.
Okay.
I've had one. It's fine.
Okay. I was going to say I'll report back, but I don't think anybody wants to hear about it. So I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. All right.
Back to the topic of Florida and vitamin D and all that kind of stuff. I probably should spend more time outside than I am. But like, we just have this great little patio thing next to us. And that's my outdoors, is just taking two steps over here.
Oh, yeah.
It's quiet and it's relaxing. And the sun is not baking my skin. It really is a mood. Like, you walk outside and it's nice out, you're just in a good mood all of a sudden. I do miss having the seasons a little bit, though. You know, like, I'm going to basically return home to essentially the same weather that I left. So
it's spring right now. So all the daffodils are coming up. Today got into like the 50s and it was sunny. So not really warm. I still wanted to have a jacket, but I ran out on my lunch hour in just a t-shirt because I was going, you know, from parking lot to building and from building back to, you know, my car in the parking lot. So didn't bother with a coat for that. So it's getting there. It's definitely spring right now.
There's probably one more
coming. Probably this. We've shared before on our social media the various fake springs. Yep. And so there's some debate as to whether or not we're in for another fake spring or if we're going to proceed to the pollinating. And I think we're getting ready for the pollinating because stuff is coming up.
I think there will be one more good snow, like one more good solid snow. And then, like in the blink of an eye, spring will come in full force. Because there's always, just when you think you're done, there's always one more good one. Okay, we've been talking about the weather for eight minutes now.
I was going to let you go, but yeah.
We we have some voicemails.
Yay.
All right, plural. Shall we?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm listening to the Barber episode, and you guys are talking about the apocalypse and whether or not hair cutting will be a thing. I have to mention it. Y'all remember the Flowbee, right? And how epic fail that is. Also, reasons women go to barbers. Undercuts. So there's a haircut that you essentially take the bottom half, or maybe more, depending on what style you're going for, of your hair and shave it. Most salons won't do the initial cut for that because a lot of salons just don't know how to do it. It's not something they teach in hair salon stylist or cosmetology school. It's something that you learn when you specialize in men's hair because more men need a high and tight or a buzz so they can do a mohawk or whatever that little flip style is where they've got like just half their hair flipped over the top of their head. So I had to actually go find a barber shop to cut half my hair out before I could continue going to the salon and have them maintain that cut. Maybe it was just the salon that I was going to, but
it was just a salon
there are
you were going
specific
to.
specialties and things that are done better at a barber shop than are done at a salon or a hairstyling place. Other fun fact, it's very common in Ohio to be able to go have an entire day at a spa. Not very common in Florida. Took forever for me to find a place that wasn't just nails or just hair dye or just waxing or any of the other various beauty things that girls get. And the reason why all of those places were shut down during COVID is specifically because of how long you are in those spaces. It's one thing if you're in a space for 10 or 15 minutes and then you're back out, like going to a fast food restaurant or even an hour. But if you do more than just a pedicure or more than just your nails at a salon, you will be there for multiple hours cycling through the same air with lots of people and breathing all over each other. And you're in very close proximity on all of those services with the exception of during your haircut. So it's really easy to get sick, and God help you if your stylist is sick because you're getting whatever she's getting or he's getting. And for Molly, because I listened to her voicemail in the episode before this.
And cut off. So I think the next one is the continuation.
She's going to call back. Yep. My grandma used to do that. She'd fill the answering machine and then call back.
Okay, so apparently I have more to say about barbers than that Carla do. For Molly, you need something like jerk face to describe your brother-in-law. And also for Matt, you were talking about having your 60-room house. You neglect to remember that you also have a wife in your 60-room house. So we are absolutely going to have a salon, and I may as well stick a barber pole outside it just to amuse you. So hope you guys have a lovely show and you get a topic that you don't have to struggle with too much because you guys deserve one. Take care. Bye.
Bye, Data.
Good, good point on the house. So I think my lovely wife would have every capability of filling all 60 rooms herself.
Yes.
So we probably need like 100 or 120 room.
I think you just would need like offsite storage.
And good point on like when she goes to the salon, it is like an event. I don't know how common or uncommon that is. When I go to get my hair done, it's like I'm in and out in about 20 minutes. So
I am at the far end for most women. Like I went to kind of like a step above, you know, your walk-in great clip supercuts kind of places. Like I had to make an appointment, but it's not a super expensive place. But they do have like dedicated staff to shampoo your hair, and they have different products depending on your specific hair type and then a cut. So I think maybe I was there an hour tops. Like I didn't have them do anything involved. Anytime you add color, and I know that Dana in the past at least has had color professionally done, that does take a long time.
She does cut, she does color, she does the maintenance of the stuff in the back, like she said. She does usually something with her nails if it's a place that does that. But another good point she made is things are just a little different down here. And there's not major things, but things like that where it's less common for your salon to also do nails. You know, I'm just discovering a lot of little slight differences in things down here. The traffic light timing is completely different down here than it is up yonder.
I don't know if what it's like by you, but there's some lights by my mother-in-law's that, like, seriously, you could probably stop.
You could watch ever. Yeah, same. I feel like it's the entire state. You hit a red, like if you hit a yellow turning red, you could probably watch a short movie. It's insane how long the lights are here. And I don't know. It's just stuff like that. You don't really expect to be different that for unknown reasons. Anyway, thank you, Dana, for calling in. And as another reminder, so this is episode number 68, and we will announce the winner on episode 70. So you have
a couple episodes.
You have two episodes because we'll obviously record after 69 is released, more than likely. So you've got this episode and the next episode and a very short window after the next episode to leave a voicemail, 216-505-0180. We're going to select one lucky winner who will get a perpetually undesigned, perpetually untitled coffee mug. I still have to design it. It will happen. I overheard Dana leaving the voicemail earlier, and I said I had a debate, like, is she eligible? Like most contests say, like, friends and like family are excluded.
She's doing the work.
She's doing the work.
The only people who have left us a voicemail are friends of ours, Matt. I mean,
that's true. Well, friends, but okay. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I mean, of mine, of yours, yes.
Yep. So, I don't know. She'll probably get, I mean, I'll probably make a couple and she'll probably get one anyway. And she doesn't even drink coffee. So it'll probably be for pens to go in or something like that. So give us a call sooner rather than later, perhaps win a coffee mug. And with that, shall we pick a topic?
Yeah, let's do so.
Recycling. I think we've done recycling, actually.
Possibly. We've done the environment.
I think we did the environment, and we talked a lot about recycling.
About recycling. I'm going to count that as a duplicate.
Okay. University.
Okay, we could do that. I'm game.
I mean, I'm not thrilled, but I'm not feeling any specific requirement to veto it. So okay. especially after last week.
Oh gosh, last week, man. I don't know. In hindsight, we should have kept football, but
yeah,
I don't know. Would have been a struggle. It still would have been a struggle.
We made it work.
Yeah,
it was like a 40-minute episode about. Anyway, university.
University. So I had what you'd probably consider like the typical university experience, where straight out of high school, went to a 4-year degree granting institution, graduated in that 4 years, did goofy Carla stuff while I was there, obviously. Like, hey, I'm going to go to Austria for a summer. And then I did grad school, which was slightly different. Like, I didn't live on campus. It's very focused. So what was your university experience like? Because I know yours is a little bit different than mine.
We went to, first of all, we attended kind of neighboring schools.
I could have walked from my childhood home to the school that you went to, yes.
Yeah.
And instead I went to the one that you had to drive
a distance
30 whole minutes. Both of those schools, incidentally, would have been free for me. I specifically chose the one that was farther away.
Yeah, I mean, I think my experience is pretty typical as well. I lived in a dorm. I didn't pick a dorm. I think they kind of assigned me the dorm based on proximity to the engineering college because I was in an engineering program. And then I later found out like our dorm building was like the campus party dorm building. and it lived up to the name, right? Like you would walk into the men's restroom on a Sunday morning and have to step over like passed out bodies.
Oh, gross.
But other than that, no, I mean, I think one big difference between me and you is you walked away from your college experience with an accreditation,
with a
piece of paper, right? And I walked away saying, this is stupid. I am tired of this. I'm going to go do something entirely different.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worked out for me. But one thing that's kind of amusing about that is like people assume that I have a degree just because of like my career progression.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at this point, it doesn't matter, right? Like I'm pretty well established in my career.
Right.
And the reality is I probably spent enough time in my various college programs that one should have a degree, given the amount. That doesn't mean I didn't find my college experience to be beneficial.
Right.
You know, I don't feel that I walked away with nothing.
Well, you had your radio station experience, and
I did. Did I?
You had all sorts of stuff, and that was all like in the university context.
Yeah. Did I ever tell the radio? I'm pretty sure I told the radio station story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I ruined somebody's college radio career in like one swoop, basically. Still kind of feel bad about that.
Yeah, we've started a college fund for kiddo kind of under the assumption that she'll probably go to university when she graduates high school. I've been telling her since she was old enough to listen, like, hey, you don't have to. If you want to go into the trades, if you want to do something, you know, start a business, that's fine. But she wants to go to college. She wants to be a software developer like daddy, she says. So I told her that that sounds wonderful and we would not hold her to it because she's 10.
Yeah.
But it's kind of wild.
I wanted to design cars when I was 10.
Right. I don't remember what I wanted to do when I was 10. Just read books all day. I mean, surprise. But it's kind of wild. So my brother and I are like the youngest of our cousins. So most of our cousins' children are much older. They're either, I think there's literally like two of them out of like the couple dozen that are still in high school. The rest are out of high school. And was recently talking with the cousin that's closest to me in age. She's got three kids. Her oldest was student athlete, is currently in college on an athletic scholarship. Her youngest is still in high school. Her middle one, though, graduated high school and went into sales and is like 19 and living in her own apartment in a different state and making, it sounds like, decent money. And she has no degree and she doesn't really feel the need for one right now. So it just kind of came out of left field because she was a good student. She was also a student athlete. So you're kind of expected to just kind of follow that little conveyor belt. And, okay, now what do? Now you go to college. And she's like, no, I'm going to go sell life insurance. So I don't know. I feel like when we were growing up, when you and I were school age, if you didn't go to university, it meant that you were either like too dumb to get in or you were in some way lacking. And now I feel like people are starting to kind of chill out about that a little bit more. Like, hey, not everybody needs to go to university.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I mean, I went to university specifically because that's, like you said, that's what you do. You know, okay, you're done with high school. What's next? You go to college. And my parents told me, you know, it's not necessarily about you got a degree in this field. It's more that you got a degree, right? You prove to the hiring managers of the world that you are kind of capable of doing whatever. But I realized pretty quickly that it wasn't really for me, and that the skills I was building was like, I don't know. It was also kind of a timing thing where like I started doing other things at a time where doing those other things, namely like building internet businesses, right, was something that was led me down a fairly lucrative path. I don't know if I like today didn't go to college, if I would have the same trajectory or not, because by and large, I often read, you know, must have 4-year degree or commensurate experience. And I have, you know, many, many years of the commensurate experience, but would those doors be open for me if I was kind of starting over in the same spot? Right.
Right. There's all sorts of interesting discussions about like, how do we make hiring equitable? Because not everyone can afford to go to college, not only the financial cost, but like the time, like not everyone can afford to delay being a working, producing adult for 4+ years.
Right. Especially since those are 4 adult years, right? Like those are the years you're on your own. And
or supporting younger siblings or supporting aging parents or whatever the life situation is. Yeah. So I've had some interesting, you know, discussions like, how many years of experience in our industry should count for this kind of degree? You know, what should the ratio be? And
are there fields where you just legitimately, absolutely need to have a degree in that field?
I would argue yes. I do not.
Like, you
want
probably can't be like a. I feel like you can't
a doctor.
Be like a doctor or like a, I don't know, a paleontologist or something, like things where academia is the field in itself. You know what I mean?
Fair.
I think those are cases where you kind of have to have one. But I remember this is one of the times me not having one came up was I was working with a team I was on at the time to like write a job description because we're going to start hire. We had a bunch of roles to hire. And the topic of education came up, and it was the question on the table was, do we want any degree or a degree in a specific field? I'm like, how about we don't even mention education requirements or, you know, put in commensurate experience. And I was like, you can't do this work without a degree. And I'm like, I am here doing this work without a degree. And the guy looked like I'd hit him with a bus. How did you even get in here? Because the job, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know, but I'm here now. So, I would rather have, if somebody studied their butt off and got good at something, I don't really care whether that knowledge and experience came from an accredited university or whatnot.
I mean, I almost wonder if some sort of system. So like in a lot of trades, you have the apprenticeship and then journeyman kind of path that you go through underneath some sort of governing body, like a union or a guild. Very old school. It's a guild. I almost wonder if developing a portfolio of one's work and then submitting, like, I feel like the interview process would have to be longer, especially now that AI is so prevalent. Like, how do you verify? Because I have interviewed people before that interview really well. And then you get them in, you're like, oh, you're mediocre.
Yeah, you know?
Like, you're fine. I think it used to be having a university degree was much more elite and had much more weight. And now I feel like a lot of universities call their students, you know, their customers. Like, if I pay you this money, you owe me a degree.
Right. Yeah, I'm buying a degree. I'm buying the paper. Right.
Right. Right. And that's
kind of one thing that's changed, I think, also since we many, many years ago were in
so
academia is like the prevalence of online universities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which as of today, there are good accredited online universities. But when they first came out, they were kind of considered like not real degrees. Like I remember back in the day, University of Phoenix online, with like the online part being a really important modifier, because University mm-hmm. of Phoenix Online had like nothing to do with the actual University of Phoenix other than like licensing the name or something like that. Like they mm-hmm. were not one and the same. And I had always heard like back then that it was kind of like a degree factor. Like you're paying for the degree versus getting,
yeah.
you know, and, well, and is that accredited to people?
There was a whole thing with the for-profit colleges that did exactly what you're describing. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have, I don't know, if you have your master's degree from University of Phoenix Online, did that or does that hold any actual weight in like in your career trajectory?
Well, and that's interesting too, because so when I was selecting what university I wanted to go to, I had what I thought at age like 18, specific career ideas, things that I for sure knew I didn't want to do. Like I knew I did not want to go into law. But that kind of thing matters. The pedigree of your degree matters in certain industries. So I had two people that I knew who were both in law school at the same time. One of them was going to Case Western University for her law degree, and the other one was going to Cleveland State's University for his law degree. And the person who went to Case didn't technically sell a kidney or a liver, but it came awful close. Like the amount of money that a private college costs is
especially one that's pretty well
shocking.
Yeah.
But with that pedigree, and not, you know, and she also worked her butt off. She got in at law firm and, you know, worked those 60 to 80 hour weeks for a couple of years, and she made partner at a young age. The other guy has had a series of jobs where he's working as a lawyer, but he's had to kind of move around. He's gotten laid off. He's, you know, in-house counsel at a company that does something else. And so I think that he had a lot less debt or tuition to pay. But, you know, it's a law degree. It's a good law degree, but it's not a case law degree, you know? So, yes, like University
it's
of
definitely
Phoenix,
not University of Phoenix that, law degree.
Right, right. Yeah. So when I did my master's, online was just starting, so you could have like a couple classes, but you couldn't do the whole program online, except for I think like San Jose State University was the only one that had, they called it an iSchool with a lowercase I, like an iMac or an iPod.
Very era appropriate thing.
Right. So the school that I went to had distance programs where they would pick a site in a different space in the state. And they would video stream to those specific sites. So you didn't have to drive all the way across the state, but you might have to drive to like downtown Cincinnati or downtown Toledo or something and then take your course there. And it was very regimented. Only certain classes got streamed. So everyone kind of went through and took the same program and ended up with the master's at the end of it, which did not sound appealing to me at all. I moved across the state so that I could just go and take whatever classes I could. I didn't want to take two years.
Yeah. Well, I did not receive a degree from college, from university. And there was a point in my life where I kind of had this like, you know, I should probably go finish that up. I think it's kind of getting to the point where my credits were going to start expiring. And so I was like, well, should I go try to finish a degree of some sort just so I'm not basically starting from scratch if I ever want to in the future. When I was having this internal kind of monologue, it was at a point where everything was turning to online, but universities hadn't really. And really the only option was University of Phoenix. And I didn't realize it was kind of a paper mill at that time. Mm-hmm. And hadn't done the research yet. So out of curiosity, I called like one of their quote unquote admissions line, which is actually like it's like a sales line, right? And it was funny because like, you know, the person I was talking to is really talking up like the sports team and things like that. When they
what?
Like, it was being presented as if you're going to get a very traditional college experience when it very obviously was not going to be that. And I remember the cost being like basically the same as going to a quote unquote real school. So it was astronomical. So a friend of ours, somebody we both know, but I won't name names, had a somewhat unethical side hustle of he had this business where he did University of Phoenix online programs for people.
Mm-hmm.
People would hire him to basically do the coursework mm-hmm. so that they got degrees and didn't actually have to do any of the work. Because there's like there's no validation or anything like that of who's actually attending the classes or like I would hang out with him and he would have a course going in the background.
Huh. I definitely had a university professor for my undergrad who talked about being a student herself in the 60s. And she dropped out, smoked a lot of pot and wrote people's essays for them. She was a literature professor. She was definitely meant for academia.
That's something that extends beyond just the internet days then, huh?
I think so.
Yeah.
Plagiarism? Yes.
Yeah. So you went to a 4-year school. But you did not live on campus.
Oh, I did.
You did.
So okay. I had a scholarship that would pay for my room and board, but only if I stayed on campus. And I even tried to split things with him. Like, what if I just eat the cost of the living? You know, I don't pay for the, you don't reimburse me for my apartment and the dormitory part, but it came with a meal plan. And they're like, no, if you don't stay on campus, you also don't get the meal plan. So.
Oh, I, yeah. So
yeah.
You might as
and
well.
I funded it all myself. My parents didn't pay for anything. So yes, I will live on campus for the free thing instead of figuring out how to pay for not only an apartment, but also groceries. And I didn't have a car, so on campus was great.
Did you return home very often?
It's only a half an hour away. So pretty often, I think. Like my first year, maybe first 2 years, I didn't have a car. So I would get a ride with a high school friend who was also going to the same college. So she could drop me off. Maybe every couple of weeks. It wasn't super often. I wanted to be on campus to do stuff on the weekends, too. This is back in the days before everyone having a cell phone and before cell phones didn't have roaming. Remember roaming?
Yeah.
Long
oh, yeah.
distance and all of yeah. that. So, this is back in the day. The university had prepaid phone calling cards that you could buy and use the dorm phone to call. And it was the dorm phone was this big, heavy Ma Bell style. It was not rotary. It was touchstone, but it had the handle that you would pick up and had an actual cradle to it. I used to call it the Clue murder weapon because it was very, very sturdy and heavy. So
we got to bring our own phone into our dorms. It was a standard jack.
And
you could bring whatever phone you wanted.
I could have, but again, didn't have a ton of money. So they have one right there. That's fine.
Oh, I don't think they... Dumb topic, I guess. I don't think they provided one. And same with internet, the drop was there, but you had to get your own network card if you did not already have one. And one thing I wish I had done that someone else in my dorm did was had a whole side gig of installing network cards in people's computers so they could use the high speed campus network. Now, one thing nice in those eras of being in the university was this was also kind of right before broadband started becoming a thing at home. And so you had high speed internet in your dorm room and it was amazing.
And then I think
downloading MP3s from completely
our
legitimate
was
sources.
Completely open my freshman year. You could just go into
go
any
to
computer.
Double click on network neighborhood and you'd see there'd be computers called MP3s here.
Yep. That was it. And sophomore year, it was all locked down, but then right around then is when Napster came out. So
yeah, those were the good old days.
Oh, the halcyon days of music.
So
piracy.
I worked. I had a couple different on campus college jobs, which were pretty easy to get because they wanted you to make money so you could then go spend it on books and things like that. Right, get your food in the cafeteria. So campus jobs were pretty easy to find, especially if you're a computer geek. So I was actually an assistant Unix administrator for the engineering college.
Okay.
And one of my claims to fame is I submitted a patch to Pine, which was the email software.
We had Pine.
That was used back in the day.
I actually
found a bug, fixed the bug, and my quote boss, the senior Unix administrator for the college, encouraged me to submit it as a patch. So somewhere in some version of Pine, there's like a one line fix in like the make file for Pine that I contributed. So there you go. That's my one of my weird college stories. The other job I had is I actually worked in tech support. So like if you were on the campus network and you had problems getting on the network, like I was one of the people that would answer the phone when you called. I remember like I got to be pretty good friends with like the network engineers. I mean, as much as a 19-year-old, you know, student employee can be friends with the 50-year-old, you know, network engineer down the hall, right? But I got pretty chatty with them. At the time, this would have been in 99, I think. The internet connection for the entire college, the literally entire huge campus college, was 9 megabits.
And well, they were thinking video streaming wasn't a thing. And, yeah.
And they were hitting limits and they were thinking about upgrading to 13 megabits at a cost of like thousands and thousands and thousands of extra dollars a month for that extra 4 megabits. Yeah. And now we have like 500 megs, gigabit, like just for
your
us.
Condo. Yeah.
Right. Just for like two people. So it's really funny to think that a 9 megabit connection served thousands of students, including like hosting the website and hosting emails and all of that kind of stuff, right? That was not just for users, but for like the campus services they provided. So again, back to the whole, wow, we're very old thing.
We are so old.
So you lived on campus.
I did.
Were you much of a partier?
Nerd party? Like, definitely was very social, hung out. I didn't really go to like the big kegger, you know, National Lampoon style parties. I had a lot of jobs. So I did one semester in the dining service, but I also worked for the student newspaper for pretty much the whole time I was there. Either as a copy editor, I became the copy chief. I was the very first web editor that they had, where early in the morning, the day after the paper went out, I would go in and find the postscripts and then turn those into websites to go on our brand new website for the student newspaper. And then I did working at the front desk in the dorms at the late night shift. So they had staff during the day, like, you know, the director for each dorm. And so,
but at night, it was just the students running the desk.
It was just right. And so at the desk, and then like I would have to do rounds through the building. So would definitely find, you know, like you mentioned Sunday morning, finding people passed out on the men's room floor. There was definitely a time where like I was doing rounds and there was a guy sprawled out in the hallway outside the bathroom. I was like, oh God, you know, is he okay? Is he having a medical event? No, he was just really drunk. And so, hey, buddy, hey, you can't
you gotta
sleep
go.
Here. He got him up on his feet. He's really wandering. He like wandered straight into the laundry room. No, buddy, you can't sleep in here. Where do you live? Is this your building? So we did eventually get him like down to the lobby. I'm like, you can stay in the lobby, but you don't live here. So I can't let you sleep in the halls. So that was a good job. And then I had a couple off-campus jobs, too. But my favorite job was on campus. And it's actually how I met our frequent caller, Kay, is we worked for the IT department as documentation. We were tech writing majors. And they reorged and they eliminated that whole thing. And so we got let go. But the guy who was kind of in charge of that area was so upset. He scooped us up and they formed this new area on campus where the idea was we had a lot of students who hadn't had the exposure to things like Microsoft Word, or we had a very large teacher college and the education majors were being asked to create video portfolios of themselves. Well, no one had ever shot video, you know, back in 2000. So we would teach people how to use those tools. The technology tool should not be the barrier to them achieving their academic success. So we will teach them that. So, I mean, that's kind of what I do now. So
I was going to say, that sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was very much
probably pays better now than it did then.
Yes. Yes, it does. Although the coworkers back then were better. So heart. Miss UK. Yeah, so I at one point had 5 part-time jobs simultaneously and decided that was too many and pared it back.
There was some, like, one thing always got me about working on campus is, like, you'd go to I don't know, the math department, and you'd walk in and they would have like 2 student aides getting paid, both just sitting there at the front desk, like reading a book, because there's like almost nothing to do other than like, oh, you're here to see such and such, third door on the left, right?
We didn't have that.
And even like when I was doing the help desk job, there would always be at least 2 or 3 people on help desk, and we get like 1 call every like 20 minutes. And so we just had all sorts of like time in between. And it wasn't like a regular job where you had other things to do. It was just when the phone rings, you answer it. And then when the phone's not ringing, you know, browse the internet or whatever.
Like, so university finances and university accounting is really interesting. So you're familiar with work study?
Well, and yeah, I mean, that's what I kind of assumed was it's like, A, considered work study to some degree, but B, also they assume that money's coming right back to them because students are going to spend their money on campus, right?
Well, so, and I'm not sure how it was at your university, but like you basically do chargebacks between departments. And so if you employ work study students, it's kind of like free for you as the internal entity inside the larger university. So why not have 2 students?
And they're probably math students, which is why they can qualify it as work study when it's in the math department or whatever. Mm-hmm. And me as an engineering student doing tech support, right? So.
Well, because I know I've mentioned this on the podcast before, like that was the big rub for me is I couldn't work in the library in undergrad because I didn't qualify for work study because I was on a scholarship.
Oh.
I know, right?
So you couldn't get relevant experience in your...
I didn't know yet that I wanted to be a librarian, but 0 people were surprised when I went into library school. So yeah, no, you could only work for the library if you had work study because of this whole like financial chargeback scenario. So, and universities now, I'm positive, are even more complex. The web of grant funding and which sources the grants come from. I have a couple friends who work in university. The amount of time, like my buddy who does like medical research, but the amount of time he has to spend writing grants is just mind boggling. And then it's very political. So
it just remind you that the original question was, were you much of a partier?
You know what? We can meander. We're staying on topic. The topic is university. The topic is not try to
so
get
the answer
Carla
is no, you
were
not much
stories.
Of a partier. You're too busy with your 5 jobs.
5 jobs and then just hanging out in people's dorm rooms, playing video games, hanging out.
Dana likes to tell people I'm very good at Mario Kart because my entire college career was essentially playing Mario Kart
You are very
Nintendo
good at Mario Kart. Not as good as, well, no. Who won between you and Rob, or was it pretty much a tie? Rob is so good.
Yeah, Rob. I think Rob and I were pretty close. Kiddo was actually not too bad either.
She is a shark.
Yeah.
She didn't start out that way, but she's young. Her brain's still a sponge, man.
So my dorm room in college had, like, I had the 36-inch TV, the stereo, the Nintendo 64. Like, I had a pretty solid dorm room setup.
Okay.
And so people like would spend a lot of time in my dorm room because I had Mario Kart and 007, right?
Oh, 007.
I would be playing games with a couple people in my dorm room and I'd have to go to like class and I would come back to my dorm
They'd
room
still
and an
be
entirely,
there.
No, a different oh. set of people would be there because people just kind of filter in and filter out. Huh. Like people just, the guy who lived next door to me, his name was Daryl. Just when he was done for class for the day, he would knock on my door and I'd open it. He'd just kind of walk in and plop down and we'd just start playing. Like not even any interaction other than like, okay, it's 007 time.
My dorm room, I got told I had the homiest dorm room they had ever seen. So I took down the curtain that the university provided and use a tension rod and put up my own curtains. And then I did loft my bed, but I had a rug, like an area rug that I put down. And then I got like a floor lamp that was like, it's the floor lamp that's next to me. I won't bring it over because it'll be clanky and loud. I had a stereo, but I must have had a TV. I had a TV, but it was old. So just really like homey, and like I had like throw pillows and Afghans, and it was very cozy.
I think that most of the girls I knew had pretty like decorative homey setups in their mm-hmm. dorms. And then every guy's room I knew was like maybe a rug on the floor, but that was really a stretch.
There was a guy, it was the roommate of the boyfriend that I had my freshman year. So this roommate is a sweet guy, but he had sheets on his bed literally twice every school year. It was the first day of each new semester because his parents would drive him from Michigan and his mom would make his bed. And then he just slept on the bare mattress or whatever. Like the sheets were on the bed, just not like covering the bed.
So I knew who my roommate was going to be because he was a friend and we were going to the same school. So we like put into the lottery, whatever, to room together, and we ended up rooming together. Mm-hmm. And if you wanted to loft your beds, like the university would provide like for a cost, like you'd have to pay for whatever bits and pieces to loft the beds. Mm-hmm. And my roommate was like, my dad's a welder. We're not paying. We'll have my dad like make us the stuff to loft it.
Okay.
And I'm still to this day surprised I'm alive because this was like the sketchiest lofting setup that you could possibly imagine. And like the beds were super wobbly and it was just super sketchy, but it saved us $50 or something like that to not rent the official lofting stuff.
The two beds would bunk without any extra stuff. Like one bed had like taller posts to it. And right. So they would bunk. And then the university didn't have lofts, but there were area companies that would, it was wood. And so my dad built my loft and over-engineered it. I mean, it was solid.
So opposite, same situation, opposite results, basically.
Yeah. He used 4x4s for the legs. Ouch.
That thing must have weighed a million pounds.
It was quite heavy. And then when I graduated from college, he took the loft structure, put it out in the backyard, and used plywood to make like walls for it and turned it into a shed. I wish I were joking.
That's an admirable upcycle.
Right? That's so my dad too. That's so on brand for him.
So you mentioned earlier that you are starting like a university fund for kiddo. Oh,
when she was first born, yes.
Yet university is optional. Like if she does not wish to go, there's no.
Yes.
Will she still get the funds?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's specifically designated. Oh, it's a number 529. It's like the tax sheltered college fund. And so it has to be spent on quote unquote educational costs. But I feel like, yes, if something happens after a certain age, she's allowed to just access that money. Signs point to her wanting to go to college. Right. So.
And if she decides she wants to buy a car with it or a boat with it or...
or whatever. Yeah. She's got a pretty good head on her shoulders.
Yeah. Kiddo's pretty settled. I'm sure she's going to do it.
Yeah. Right.
But...
she really loves math. So maybe she'll get work study and go work in a math lab somewhere.
Be one of two people sitting at the front desk.
You know, it's so hard to anticipate what university is going to look like by the time she's old enough to be in it. We have, you know, we're still in the very early stages of figuring out how to use AI in the workplace and in education and use it.
It's literally all day, every day conversations I'm in.
Right, right. So, you know, hopefully by the time she's ready for university, we will have figured something out. And we won't go into politics too much, but like the Department of Education is kind of going away right now. So that's going to change the way that university looks. And you know, funding is changing and what can be offered at a university and is changing.
More and more things in general being privatized. And
right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what it looks like for her. She's a smart kid, so I think Kittle will be fine.
We have been recording for over an hour. And
are you feeling tapped out?
I think we've done pretty good. Well, I have been Matt.
And I have been Carla.
And we will talk to you soon.